Hey there, everybody. It is Suzanne back with another energy update, and I'm kind of excited to share this particular client session. Again, if you're not aware of these are client sessions that I have that they have allowed me to share anonymously their story so that we can all learn from one another. And this one I'm really excited to share because so many of my clients come into their session in my office, and you know, they don't really understand why they are losing their energy in terms of not only possibly physically, but more so emotionally or mentally. And so many times it's because they're an empath. And, you know, this is kind of a weird word. A lot of people are familiar with it, and then there's many, many that are not familiar with what the word empath means. Now, the human body, in a meat and bone way, is designed to actually empathically connect with other human beings. It's our emotional field. We are supposed to be able to connect with people in terms of their feelings and their senses and know what it feels like to be them and be able to support that with, you know, loving kindness and empathy. But empathing is something completely different, and this particular client is really good at it. Empathing means that we actually take on the other person's energy. We take on the other person's sadness or pain, or we take on the other person's actual physical ailments. And many, many, many of us are actually empathing each other throughout our day because of the fact that most of the time this comes up from our belief systems as a child. These are things that we learn along the way because initially we have been presented with some kind of a statement, whether that statement is an actual verbal statement or we've witnessed it in childhood from watching and learning and listening and experiencing. We've got the information that this is how we're supposed to work, that we're supposed to take on other people's responsibilities or pain or angst or make things better or become that one in the family that is quote unquote the one. And, you know, I'm not judging anybody on this because I've done certainly throughout my life my own amount of empathing and certainly my own amount of being the one in a belief system. So when I was talking with this particular gal the other day, it's really, really going into the depths of that childhood belief system. And we hold these, by the way, in our belly, our sacral chakra, our actual digestive tract, our colon, our intestines, our sexual organs, our lower back, all of these areas, including our legs and our structure of our actual body too, holds our belief systems and our emotional feelings. And many, many, many people that have this empath thing will be on overload because we're taking on everybody else's. And when we take on everybody else's, oftentimes what we do is we don't look at our own. And if we don't look at our own, how does that look? Well, that looks energetically like, oh, let's just get super organized and put this on the shelf, on the back of the shelf. And oftentimes they're folded up nice and neat. And oftentimes these feelings and desires and passions are actually boxed up nice and neat and tucked very tight in the back of that so-called metaphoric closet in our gut. And we don't look at our own emotions because we're too busy looking at everybody else's. And what happens is that's ultimately going to turn us into a bit of a control freak. This is going to kick up the mental field. This is going to kick up wanting to be very much in control of everything in our 3D world. And we will oftentimes turn into what the actual, sadly, society sees as us as very successful. He or she is like really got their stuff together and they're really, you know, able to multitask and take care of tons of things and be in charge of everyone and everything and be there for everyone. But the ultimate reality of these type of people, because I've been there, basically means that you're putting on this lovely front outward, but you're dying on the inside. And you literally, if you get quiet enough, can find that you are running out of fuel. And these people also don't want to receive help because they can do it faster and quicker and better anyway. And that was my MO, boy. I mean, you know, like, yeah, you can help me, but God, I can do it faster and quicker, so why should I wait on you? And the reality is there is an underlying program that is really, really screaming for attention and help and assistance from others, but you're too busy doing it for everybody else. And it's a really bad loop program because ultimately it is eroding the actual self-worth, underneath there of the root chakra. It is actually eroding that concept of I have to do to be good enough. And this empathing can then start to really become quite a difficult problem, because we don't normally even know that we're empathing. We are literally taking care of our children's problems. In this particular client's situation, it's like worrying about the children. And I'm worrying about the children. And I've got all this worry going on. And this is an erosion of the energy field as well. And I do have to say, this doesn't make me better or cooler, but I do have to say, I don't worry a whole lot about my children. And I was expressing this to her. And I don't really feel like I have to worry about my children, because I really understand that they are taken care of from a higher place, that their soul knows what they're doing, that I can kind of release a lot of that. But empaths take on everybody's pain and everybody's worry and everybody's concern. And this is very, very difficult. And it is really seriously something to find within your own self, if you choose, because it's deeply rooted in this belly. In this particular gal's case, I was actually, when we did the scan on her body, we do a actual scan before we do the work on the table as far as energy work goes. And when we were scanning her body, I was saying to her, can you feel the sensation of when we're down in your gut, which is where all this is happening, that the left-hand side of your gut has even more gunk or heaviness or density to it in the front compared to the right? And she actually was able to tap into that and actually acknowledge that. And she's like, yeah, you know, what's that all about? And I said, this is actually a belief system that you don't trust females overall. And I love when this happens, because it happens a lot. Her face just got all contorted and she's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And I said, well, why not? And she said, because I have a ton of women friends. And I said, yeah, but that's not what I said. What I said is there's an underlying belief system that you can't fully trust women in terms of a concept. And that's so hard for people to get. And I've had this come up a lot of times in client work. They sit there and immediately they're like, nope, that's not me. And that's fine. Don't get me wrong. I don't have to be right. But when I go deeper, they start to understand what this means. So I want to explain it in this particular energy update. What that means is, when I'm little, for example, I can be 6, or I can be 8, or I can be 12 or 14. I can be any of those ages, and my friend or my not friend says, oh, your hair is ugly, or oh, I can't believe that dress you're wearing, or grandma says, gee, you look terrible today, or whatever. So all of these little female teeny tiny darts, these little pin darts go piercing my target of self-worth. And they're tiny. They're not big. And so most of the time, this is not something we're aware of, but they accumulate because I've already got a hurt in that arena. I've already got something that is off in my self-worth anyway from the very beginning. So these little tiny targets, these little tiny hits keep going boom, 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 and they accumulate. And I don't even know they're happening. And it accumulates and it accumulates on a subconscious, really low running kind of narrative. And as I age, I push even harder then, oftentimes, to go out and find those female relationships, because I'm trying to counteract that belief system that's being created and validated. And then I will completely find, you know, another reason to validate it. Now, again, this is all happening on a subconscious basis. So most of the time, we don't even have a clue what's going on. On the surface, oh no, I love women. I totally got a lot of chick friends. I'm really, really into, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But when I talk to these clients about it, I say, yeah, but how much do you really trust that women friend group? How much do you really allow that woman friend to get in to that full vulnerable space and really give and receive from that woman with nothing attached? And then the light bulb goes on. Then the thing goes, oh. And then it's funny, because oftentimes I'll start to really start to open up to this concept of, you know what? I think that is got some truth to it. There is a lot of hurts that I've had. I can, now that I'm getting quiet enough, remember. And as they're remembering it, oftentimes in the chair right in front of me at the desk, it's so amazing, because they'll start to actually feel, and I'm not kidding, they're feeling how their gut is like, and it's this really weird feeling energetically. It's like thick. It's like sticky. It's like you know, energy blocks come in a lot of different ways. Sometimes they're tight, sometimes they're piercing, sometimes they sting, sometimes they're electric, sometimes they're just dense and nagging. This kind of an energy block that's a belief system that is accumulated in all these little darts along the way is sticky, and I don't know how to, it's almost like, it's like tarish, it's like goop, and it just kind of sits heavy and goopy in that belly. And oftentimes when the client can start to unfold to this concept and really start to maybe possibly own some of this concept, they'll start to realize, and inevitably they will either have that hand go down to their belly, or their face is starting to recognize how much that belly does bother them, or they're starting to really admit that, yeah, you know what, my digestion on the left-hand side always sucks, or whatever. It's really interesting to me that they start to then own this really deeply hidden energy block. And again, this isn't about me being right. It's just that I'm a practitioner and I've done this for many, many, many years, and I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients, and there is a very, very typical loop pattern here with this kind of an empathing for many, many years of other people's, I don't know, judgments on me, or other people's energetic field around me, especially when it comes to my self-worth. It becomes gunky in that belly. And this particular client really started to get it after we did the work. And I love when their light bulb goes on. I love that they can own that themselves, because, you know, energy work is not about me being right. Energy work is about you owning your own. And I think that that was super, super cool with this particular one. Then she started to understand, oh, yeah, I am empathing those. I have had that. Oh, yeah, I do empath everybody. Oh, I do start to use control mechanisms to then validate myself, and on and on. And we continued to work. And as I'm scanning her, we also got to the heart chakra. And remember, now this person is a huge empath. And we got to the heart chakra, and I said, can you feel that sense of sad here? And she's like, well, a little bit. And I asked her again to recenter and go deeper and really own sad. Now, empaths oftentimes don't want to own the feel, because we're owning all this mishmash of feel anyway. So we kind of like, you know, skirt over the top or ignore it completely. So I had her slow down. I had her kind of go in deeper again. And I'm like, really, seriously, I want you to try to see if you can own the emotion here of sad. And she's like, oh, I sort of can get that. And then I ask this really odd question to my clients oftentimes in this particular point. And I say, can you fully own that sad? And she's like, what? Which they often say, what? And I said, can you fully own that sad as your own? Does it feel in your meat and bone body as if you own that sad fully as your own? And oftentimes this is a hard thing to discern, but the more discernment work and body work you do, the easier this becomes. And she said, you know, that's really weird, because it's like I don't necessarily know what some of that sad is. And then I said, that sad is the water. And she opened her eyes and she looked right at me and she's like, what? And I said, that sad is the water. I said, you are such an empath that you not only empath humans and everything and your past and your children and, you know, all of this judgment stuff, but you empath the actual element of the water. And this is very, very common, by the way. A lot of water babies, especially, meaning those that really love water, whether that water is a lake, it's a stream, but most oftentimes it's an ocean for water babies. They are the ones that are drawn to the water. They are the ones that love the water, and they oftentimes want to, you know, like move to live by the water. Oftentimes, we call those water babies. Oftentimes, these water babies will be also empathing the water, because it's such an important element of earth, wind, water, fire, ether. Theirs is water. And when they empath that water, unbeknownst to them, they're empathing the pain of water, the actual agony of water. And I know that may sound foreign to somebody that's listening for the first time and doesn't necessarily do this kind of work, but the water itself is a living, breathing entity just like we are. And it has a consciousness just like we do. And it has pain just like we do. And think of the overall collective pain of water from eons of us as humans destroying it in terms of pollution and not taking care of it. Think of the knowingness that water has. Think of the information that flows through it. And when these type of empaths are empathing the actual sadness of the water, it can completely overpower them. And now when we have an already empath person and we add on this another layer on top of them, oftentimes this is just like overwhelming. Well, when I said this is the water, this particular client literally lost it. She automatically started bawling and she didn't understand it. But see, again, our subconscious knows things, our conscious doesn't. And she's like, what is this? What is happening? And I said, this is the sad of the water. And she, when she allowed it to start to flow, she couldn't stop. And it was like surprised the shit out of her because she's literally like bawling and crying and not understanding what is happening because, sorry about the dog in the back, I've got the pooch here. Anyway, she doesn't understand what's happening in terms of this empathing. Now, empathing nature is not as weird as it sounds. I mean, a lot of us are aware of our, I don't know, primary source in the forces of nature. And some of us are not aware, but some of us are really connected to one versus the other. That doesn't mean anything, good or bad, value system, none of that. Just simply means that our inherent need or skill set attaches to that actual form or force of energy more so than others. And oftentimes I find, especially with water babies, that they are very, either consciously or subconsciously, connected on an ongoing basis to what's happening in these large bodies of water. And it's about prayer. I know this sounds kind of like an odd transition here. This is about prayer because we are really supposed to be connected to elements and we are supposed to be part of one of all. And no one like gives us that information first and foremost because it sounds weird, like, oh, I'm one with water, or oh, I'm one with a tree. But the reality is we are. And when we are aware of that and we are empathing that and we are taking that pain, what we want to do is, just like if we're taking the pain of a human, we don't want to take that pain. We want to acknowledge it. We want to honor it. And then we want to move it through. And we want to be able to acknowledge it, because just like empathing a human, I want to acknowledge your pain. I want to empathically be part of you, whether it's water and or humanity. But I don't want to take it from you, because if I take it from you, it's a lose-lose. What happens is I lose my energy field. I become all muddled and sick eventually and depressed, and actually I can disease from that. But ultimately, I don't give you the chance, meaning that other person or that energetic force of water itself, to clear your own field. And so it's really important for us to honor these kinds of things. And why I say the word prayer is, prayer to me is not reciting words from a book that we learned when we were a kid in church. Prayer to me is moving through the energy fields and changing frequencies and transferring information and putting that information back to the sources and spaces and places it needs to go to. That to me is what prayer is. And so if we have somebody like an empath, like this particular client, the same goes for the human. Please, please consider doing something about your auric field. Really discern and hone the skill of the bubble and the ground, because that's your key first and foremost, is to be able to discern what is me and what isn't me. And then really, whether it's a human or a body of water again, you know, go inward to that feel center, into that sacred belly where she was having trouble, and really go, oh, wow. And in her case, it was also the heart, by the way. Wow, that's not my sad. That's really fully not my sad, how she did it. And then when she started to absolutely, you know, cry, shudder, it scared her. And if I wasn't in that process, she probably would have ignored that and shut it down and just thought she was super tired or something. And I do these, you know, energy updates to be able to share this information so that if something like this happens to you, now you have knowledge to pull from. Our bodies will contain this information like a living library, and it's important for us to acknowledge that and go deeper and deeper and deeper each time and go, wow, this is sad. Wow, this isn't my sad. Whose sad is this? Wow, this is the water sad. Is this water sad because it's polluted? Does it have memories? What do I want to do with that sad? And on, it's a relationship of communication. And we need to, if we choose, and I hope we do, to start activating these relationships. Because we're designed as a human body to empathically connect, but we're not designed as a human body to empath the connect. And these are really two distinctly different things. And so, you know, in the case of then, okay, Suzanne, what am I supposed to do? I'm feeling the sadness of the ocean or the fish or the coral reefs, and it's all dying. And what do I do about that? Well, here's where magic lies. We get to do anything we want to. There is no rule book on how to move energy. Creativity and imagination is all part of this. And, you know, this is when I tell her childlike behavior is really, really important, because this brings out, like, you know, be the little mermaid, let it swim off, see it going in bubbles up to the universe, let the sharks come in and swirl it all away. I mean, there's a million little childlike behavior, imagination things that you can do. You can stick it on a cloud, you can let a bird carry it, you can do anything, you can burn it up, and literally in real life, by the way, you can write these pains out and actually burn them and watch that go to the ethers. There is limitless things that you can do in terms of creative ways to move that energy through your body and return it to source energy. Basically, what we're trying to do is return it to universal source energy so that it can transmute. And this is super important for the big picture of empathing. So this is kind of like a lot of different layers and a lot of different levels of empathing all at the same time, but this particular client was doing them all, and you might be one of those people too. And hey, if this doesn't resonate for you, just listen to it for entertainment or let it go. But again, this is something that hopefully you may or may not find happening within your own circle. And one of the rocks that I told her to work with that is really, really helpful in this particular situation is a carnelian. And if you're a rock person, and if you like to hold on to rocks or work with rocks or have them at, in, you know, in your home or your bedside, the carnelian is a really great rock for you to consider working with here, as is calcite. And calcite, red calcite and orange calcite are both colors that can work here, because the red calcite would be more so for that root chakra, orange for the sacral, but carnelian kind of embodies both of those frequencies. And carnelian is really great for emotions and relationships, and can clear, help clear that actual sacral chakra if you choose to work with something like an element of the rock itself. The deva, meaning the frequency within the rock, can be a helpful partner for you. So hopefully maybe this gave you some insight into how empathing, not empathy, empathing can really affect your field, not only as an individual, but on a collective basis and all the way into the planetary basis. So hopefully that made some sense for you. And until we talk again, cosmic hugs.